Hello and welcome. You've tuned into Active Listening with T4 Tactics. I'm Marco Galbraith, your host, and our podcast is all about personal success and networking. We'll discuss small business tips, health and wellness issues, personal safety tips, financial gain, and a variety of other topics from professionals in the field. And once in a while, we'll throw in our area of expertise, firearm safety and active shooter response for businesses, churches, and schools. So sit back, relax, listen and learn. Active Listening with T4 Tactics. Today is Thursday, August 31st, 2023. You're listening to Active Listening with T4 Tactics. I'm your host again, Marco Galbraith, and we've got some cooler weather today here in Lynchburg, Virginia. That was nice.
Absolutely. I'm loving it.
Yep.
Seeing the leaves turn.
That's right. They'll be doing that soon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. William Harvey is back. You did a podcast, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, about a year or so ago.
Yeah. So you want to talk about your background, give them an update on your background again in case they didn't hear that podcast.
Oh, okay. Born and raised here in Virginia, went to the United States Army, straight out of community college. Then worked 23 years for the Savannah, Georgia Police Department, director of training there. Became a chief of police in Pennsylvania for Lebanon City and then later Ephrata. For 17 years. I was also on the incident management team for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I still do training for Louisiana State University, and also too, you can go to officer.com and see my articles. I'm a contributing editor to officer.com magazine and officer.com website.
Mm-hmm.
So training and safety and crime prevention and just making this world a better place is my passion.
That's right. That's right. You've got a couple of years doing it. I take a lot of online classes with LSU.
Mm-hmm.
on safety and active shooter.
And
Yeah. And they've got great online classes.
Oh, they're fantastic.
I've probably got about 10 or 12 under my belt, and I get the emails. I'm like, you know what? That's a good class. I'm gonna sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
One. Because although you and I have been in the business a while, we still should be learning, and we're always able to learn.
You treat every day as a new learning experience.
That's right. That's right. So Mrs. Wilkes' house in Savannah. my parents took me there when I was, I guess I was maybe 16 or 17. And it was a place where, even you know, you go into this house and you're sitting with strangers around a big table, like Thanksgiving table, and they bring out food and you pass it around and share it. It was really, really cool.
And having known Mrs. Wilkes, God rest her,
uh-huh,
there was one rule that you forgot.
Uh-huh.
Nobody touched nothing until she rang the bell and she said grace.
Really?
Then you could eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, she still put her special home touch on it.
Yeah. Good old Southern meals. And I remember we had fried chicken, mashed potatoes, greens. Yes. And we just sat around and passed it. Hey, can somebody pass this again? Pass that. That's really cool.
When I was a detective, they used to feed us at the back. They'd make the note boxes for the detective office, which explains sometimes I had to get a bigger suit.
Yeah. Especially eating that. It was good. It was good. Good place. So I know the couple things we want to talk about. Let's talk about airport smarts and airport stupidities. I guess we can say that. We were talking off air about some of the goofiness, because you and I both travel a lot to present for training. So talk about what you were telling about some tags and the stuff you've seen on that.
Well, one thing I've noticed is post-COVID, people have re-energized themselves when they're traveling. And I see them just come pouring into airports excited. But there's certain things we need to look at, so operational security. And I was sitting in a Detroit airport, and I looked, and there was a man and his wife. They had a little matching luggage. And they had these embossed, engraved tags with a wire, you know, on their packs and everything, so they could identify it. They had the Social Security number.
Wow.
And I'm like,
thinking? I mean, who would do that? Well, Social Security number on a tag.
Absolutely.
And, of course, their name, right?
Right. I can see your name, maybe a cell phone number.
Right.
But not, you know, you don't need your email. You know, just something that the bag is found, they can call you.
Phone number.
But little things like that, I'm just looking at the awareness of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and also too, people I think are just so excited. And especially the other problem is they're in a hurry.
Right.
They got the car rental thing going.
Right.
And they're just almost oblivious, almost getting hit by cars. Mm-hmm. They're not paying attention. They're not reading the signs. slow down.
Right.
Because there are other people watching you in airports. Not everybody's in the friendly skies.
That's right. There's a lot of predators at airports.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's Wi-Fi, you know, wireless electronic communication that they're trying to get into, or whether it's just listening. I was in Chicago, and I had a long layover in Chicago because of snow. And I'm sitting there, and there's a woman next to me, and she's having banking issues. And so she's on the phone with Wells Fargo IT. Mm-hmm. And sitting next to me, I hear her say her username, her password.
Oh, wonderful.
And then she mentioned the account.
Did you write them down?
I should have. I'd have more money now than I did. But I'm thinking, why is she just saying that so openly and loud? And I've heard HR directors talking about some very sensitive company information that they should not be just... go off into a corner and talk, because people are listening.
And a couple of the airports, the larger ones, they will have little workspaces.
Yes.
Where you can go in and seclude yourself in there, or a little more quieter area.
Right.
And you're away from the earshot of everybody else. Scope it out if you've got time to do it.
Yeah, and don't ever plug into... bring your own plug for your recharging their devices, but a lot of these big towers can be hacked into. Mm-hmm. Where people plug in their phones. So I always bring, you can buy these little portable batteries. They're like the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Correct.
And it's a battery. And so instead of needing to charge your phone and use somebody else, you can use your own personal battery and have a, but these charging stations can be hacked.
Well, mine is, like you said, pack of smokes, but it's also to a hotspot.
Nice.
So I don't have to use, you know, a public... Wi-Fi,
yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
So, you know, I got a 2-for-1 right there.
Yeah.
It looks like a little hockey puck thing,
right.
But it's good.
Right. Signage. We were talking about hotels. We'll say be careful. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I used to do when we were in Savannah, we used to do crime prevention for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, it's a lovely city or whatever. It is. Lynchburg is a lovely city to come see. But the thing of it is, a lot of the hotels now are putting out little warning signs, after hours, don't go down this area.
Right.
You know, make cognitive decisions to catch the trolley in rather
right.
than walk. They don't put that out there recreationally. They're trying to protect their customers. They want you to have a good, safe, you know, experience.
Right.
There. So if you get this local knowledge, and it's usually on a concierge desk or a check-in desk.
Right.
I remember once I was in Jackson, Mississippi. Never go there. Make a note of that.
Mm.
And they actually had a sign that says, doors are locked after 11. And so, and we'll open up around 6 a.m. So this is when I was younger, more fit. And the guy I was traveling with, we said, we're going to go take a run.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, no, you can't do that. Why? We don't want you running the streets until it's like daylight.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay,
I get
that.
Right.
But, you know, listen to the local knowledge.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be learned from there. It's not, you know, where the best restaurants are.
Right.
But it's also to have a safe environment for you to be in.
Yeah. If you see bars on windows, on businesses, razor wire, you're probably in a bad area. So you need to have a heads up.
We call that a clue.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Situational awareness.
Absolutely.
And when I my rental car company, because I rent so much, I can upgrade to a whatever car I want. Mm-hmm. I'm not stuck to one car. But when I go to these cities that I'm not familiar with, I always try to pick out a car with a local tag on it instead of out-of-state plates. And then, yeah, I can get that Range Rover, that red Range Rover with the nice black rims. No, I want that. I want that plain Jane, neutral color Hyundai, or
nothing to bring attention.
That's
to
right, Nissan Sentra. Just I want to fit in. I don't want a car that is going to make me look like I got money or flashy or something that wants to be
Absolutely.
Stolen. And, but people need to think about that. Traveling, you pick up so much. Like, don't do that. Don't do this.
The other thing about the hotel awareness is I always tell people, I said, look, when you go to a hotel, first thing you do when you get there and you check in, see where the exit is.
Absolutely.
Closest exit for you. And then see where it comes out on that side
mm-hmm.
of the hotel. If you have a parking lot that's 360 degrees,
mm-hmm.
I will take my vehicle and post it there.
Right.
So if I have to get out in the middle of the night and I go down the exit and come out of that stairwell, I'm at my car.
Right.
Or the vehicle I'm renting or whatever.
Right.
And that's a smart move.
Yeah.
But most people, when they get in, they want to look in the mini bar and all these other things. Uh-huh. You know, do some situational awareness. One thing I always...
It only takes 20 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes to walk, like you're saying.
Right.
Walk down the exit, see where that goes, open that exterior exit door and see what's on the other side of this exit in case I got to get out of here quick.
And if you travel a lot, look at your travel profile.
Right.
You can put in your travel profile where you want your room, close to an exit, close to the elevator, whatever. The other thing, too, I've always dealt with when I talk about ladies and their awareness, you know, go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and get the big door chock.
Right.
Because I don't trust the doors on a hotel. But now don't get the little small dinky ones because they will smoosh down, and the door is always a couple inches maybe on the door when they used to stick the bills under there.
Right.
But get one of those as a secondary. And if you don't even have that, take the ironing board out and put it up against the door.
Right.
So if somebody kicks the door in the middle of the night, that will, you know, make a noise. The
Some kind of noise.
They run them away.
Yeah.
And wakes you up.
Yep. Make sure you can't get in through the window or the sliding glass door. Most hotels have bars where you can put it in there.
But I always say a big door chock in your travel bag. It'll fit in a cosmetic case.
Right.
TSA doesn't have a fit with it because it's all plastic. So right. Everybody's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to think about this stuff. We get in that, people get in that vacation mode and they think, I'm in Orlando where Disney is. Everything's fine. No, it's, you've got, because the bad guys know you're in vacation mode. You probably have a lot of cash on you. So, yeah, the other thing about stuff like that, I'm careful when I do valet parking. If it's my own vehicle, I take my house keys off. You know, I take all the personal keys off. All they get is my vehicle key. I'll take the vehicle registration out of the glove box and keep it with me. They don't need to know where I live or anything, personal information. So think about that. If you're gonna travel and you may have the opportunity to have your vehicle valeted, clean it out first before you get there.
And a lot of people try to be penny wise, pound foolish. Yeah. And say, I'm not going to pay for valet parking. I'll just try to find something out on the streets. Well, in some of the older cities, you know, if you're in Philly, if you're in, you know, Savannah, places like that, even here in Lynchburg maybe, you know, you may park on the street or you may find a parking where you can park at 24 hours for $8.
Right.
But it's exposed.
Right.
And also, too, that means it's 140 degrees inside it when you get ready to start the car up.
Yeah.
But
and out-of-state plates,
and out-of-state, so you're a target. You're a target. You pay extra, they secure it, they take care of
right.
it. Most of them now walk around, they take pictures of the car, make sure there's no damage.
Yeah.
Do you spend more? Yes, but you have a better experience.
Yes.
And that's all what it's about.
Absolutely. And then a lot of these hotels have an app, so 15 minutes before you're ready to walk into your car, you call or you hit the app and it, boom, your car is ready. There's no waiting.
That's waiting there for you.
It's all automated. Yeah. 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 Do you travel with your firearm?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Do you have the HR-218?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Because the Commonwealth of Virginia will not issue it to me because I never was a police officer, municipal officer in this Commonwealth.
Oh.
So, and with me... also, to the company I work with, you know, they do not want us going off.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, being a university. But
yeah.
That being said, we've had this discussion in the past. It's made us a lot more aware of what we do, how we act, and what we do. You know, having a firearm to me is not the great salvation. It doesn't make you a Jedi warrior.
Right.
It goes back to what I was first taught in martial arts. The best thing about martial arts is sometimes never having to use.
That's right.
Don't put yourself in predicaments.
Yep. The best weapon you have to keep you out of trouble is your brain.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of subfolders in that. Yeah. I travel with mine, but I get asked a lot.
Travel with your brain?
Yeah, I travel with my brain. Sometimes I leave it at home because I get there. It's like, what was I doing? Where am I at? But I travel with mine all the time with that HR-218. But I get asked that all the time in my concealed classes. How do I travel with my firearm? Very easy. TSA has the rules laid out very easy. Each airline has the rules, but if you're interested in doing that, it's very easy to do. You just got to make sure you have reciprocity in where you're going.
Correct.
But yeah. Some of these places I go to, I'm glad that I'm armed. It's reassuring.
But we're also, too, talking about travel. One thing I get into with people is... what's your everyday carry?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, fine. Do you carry on a flashlight on you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, why should I? I got a cell phone.
Right.
Well, that doesn't work. It's going to pull it down.
That's right.
It disables the phone in some instances.
Yeah.
I said, do you have a pocket knife or utility type multi-tool in case you had to pry something open?
Yeah.
Cut
a seatbelt. Yeah.
And I just get totally, you know, I lose my mindset.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you carry? I call it needful things.
Right.
You know, I'm not trying to be Stephen King.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Needful things. You know, what should you have on you today to make a difference if something happens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good quality pocket knife or a good quality multi-tool.
Right.
And little things like this. I mean, I have a little carry bag I keep with me at all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, if I can plug it, I tell people to go to this one website called Everyday Carry.
Yes.
And they do evaluations of the new flashlights, the new this, that, and the others. And it helps, you know, a first-time consumer make, you know, good cognitive decisions right. of what they're looking at. But you've always got to have in, you know, what I call but, what, if, then thinking. If I needed to, right now, you know, cut your shirt off and start CPR,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do I have?
Yeah.
You know, do I have something like that? And do you have these little odds and ends, just little things that you can easily carry in your briefcase, in your pack, in a lady's purse?
Right.
And, you know, what can I do to make things better?
Right.
Or
right.
safer?
Right.
And you can even carry some little smaller tourniquets in it.
Mm-hmm.
TSA has a hard time with me. They say, why are you carrying a tourniquet?
I said, well why not?
I said, why don't you have one on you?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be 30,000 feet in a tube of death. Yeah. And a tourniquet may come in handy if just we hit turbulence. Somebody slices something.
And what I had with one of them is this. They do make the, what I call them, the rubber inner tube tourniquets. Mm-hmm. They're not as effective
right.
as the good ones.
Right.
But, you know, they look at you and I said, well, it's for, you know, working on my shoulder.
Right, right.
Give
yeah.
me some, you know, exercises
yeah.
to do. Oh, okay, that's fine. But for the tourniquet, they go panicky.
Wow.
But it's just where you go.
Yeah.
But little odds and ends like that make mm-hmm. a difference.
It does. It does. And it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And right. it's not being paranoid. None of this, none of this stuff we're talking about today is about being paranoid. It's just the best way to win a fight or an attack is not being one in the first place.
True.
So it's just thinking outside the box. It's when I go to do the active shooter presentations, I usually walk in with a big rifle bag mm-hmm. because I've got the plastic, the blue plastic mm-hmm. AR-15 in there where you do disarming techniques. And it's amazing how many places, convention centers, hotels, I'll walk in with that rifle bag and I never get a second look. Nobody even pays any attention to me and I'm walking in with a rifle bag. It's unbelievable. You'd think somebody would at least give me a second look mm-hmm. because it's obvious what it is. It's
right.
it looks utility. It looks like it's a rifle bag. And it's
a dear friend of mine who was a I cannot really describe what he did, but he was a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that he started to do was carry a collapsible shoulder weapon
mm-hmm.
in a like a guitar case.
Yeah.
And nobody gave him a second look.
Right.
I mean, what he did, he bought a guitar case, hold it out, put some foam in it, like in a Pelican can.
Yeah, yeah.
And cut it out. And that's where he carried all of his equipment, ammo, and such as that. Of course, he had a big flashlight and all of these other
yeah.
things in it. And he would walk in. Everybody thought he was a musician.
Yeah, exactly.
He couldn't sing.
Exactly.
But he had the information there to do what he had to do.
That's right.
Equipment, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. Absolutely. They did I saw a YouTube video on situational awareness and normalcy bias, and this guy grabbed a ladder and put on just a work uniform. No mm-hmm. company name or no name, mm-hmm. just kind of like a bib, or not bib overalls, coveralls. And he went to several different businesses, airports, hospitals, and just walked in with the ladder, and he had free access to everywhere in these facilities because he had a ladder with him, and he looked like he was in coveralls to do work, and nobody questioned.
Oh, yeah. You see, this is the problem we have with humans. Animals can override, and animals cannot override inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm.
Humans can.
Yeah.
Because right now, if I look at you and say, okay, you're working for me, and a customer's always right.
Yeah.
And so when somebody comes in who looks kind of nefarious,
mm-hmm.
the customer's always right.
You yeah. know,
and they start asking stupid questions,
right.
and you give them up information they shouldn't give up.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I said, don't let people override, you know, these things that should be there or those things that should not be there.
Right.
And they go, well, how do you know? I said, does the hair in the back of your neck bristle?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Good. That's a good sign.
That's how you
right
know.
There.
God gave us that for a reason.
The other thing about going back to traveling, you know, I always tell people when they go into buildings and such, everybody has one. And it's an acronym. We have to make up an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
The BEAP, to build an emergency action plan. And that's
mm-hmm.
the little schematic it says,
yeah.
here, how to
yeah,
get
yeah.
out. I always tell companies, I said, if you're going to do one, make sure it is updated yearly, is laminated or in glass or whatever. with a date when the last time it was done. You know, and the reason I wanted laminated, what if somebody doesn't draw lines mm-hmm. over it and sends you down a dead end? Mm-hmm. It has usually a secondary or tertiary methodology of escape. And you tell people this, to look at these things, pay attention to them. If I'm bringing a contract in here today to help you paint the wall,
right.
I'm going to show him that on where the exits are yep. and such as that. But what I've also seen, too, some people are putting too much on there. They're putting, you know, this is a safe room. Ooh. Well, if I'm a shooter,
mm-hmm.
I know where the people are hiding.
Yeah.
Or they're securing
it. Or I need to keep people from getting to that room.
Right. They yeah. don't need to show the utility room.
Right.
You know, where they can throw the power wall or over to cut the water and all that.
Yeah, yeah. 911
lines. They don't need to show
yeah.
any of those things. But, you know, if you color code them for your employees, they need to know it, but they don't need to tell it to everybody.
Right.
I did a vulnerability assessment for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for a large school system.
Mm-hmm.
And they had put their building emergency action plans on the internet.
Oh.
And I'm sitting here looking at it going, why does Joe, the bad guy,
right.
need to know where the utility closet is?
Right, right.
Why does somebody need to know where the secure area right. or the medical area is in case a child is ill or sick? And I said, we need to go back and kind of Greek some of these out.
Right.
So do you want to be transparent? Yes, but you don't need to be too transparent.
No, no. Yeah, you don't want to put all your cards out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
Wow. Yeah.
But the other thing, too, I found out with people when they travel in groups, especially with tourists or, you know, group travel, they never have a reunification plan.
Right.
That, you know, we're going to go out to this pub tonight. You're going to go out to this restaurant tonight. You know, in case something occurs,
mm-hmm.
You know, how do we get back together? You know, where will we meet as neutral if the, it could be a fire alarm at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, where's that secondary, right. you know, rally point? And I always remember my blue-haired sainted Irish mother, when people would come visit, you know, she would wait about 20, 30 minutes, and she'd call your house. Marco, did you make it home? Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was kind of overbearing, but then again, too, now I'm thinking she respected to make sure you were safe.
Right.
Because you were a guest of hers.
Right.
She wanted to make sure that you made home safe. So, you know, the rally points and reunifications, when you see people traveling in groups, that needs to be one of the immediate operational things we do. This is what we do. This
yeah.
is where we go. And if we have a problem, you know, we contact the team leader or whatever. And the team leader could be dad. It could be
right.
the crazy uncle.
Right,
crazy
right.
Uncle Marco.
Right, know. Right. Yeah.
So, but these are another things.
That and that's something that could be done in just one simple pizza party or dinner before
absolutely.
We go on our vacation. Let's yeah. get together and let's just think about what if, and you know, people will say, well, you're living in fear, paranoia, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're not talking about being violent. We could be, but it's not necessarily about being violently attacked. But what if we have a fire in Maui?
Mm-hmm.
What if we have a hurricane pop up on us on vacation in Florida and we didn't realize how bad this was going to be?
Kansas City last year, and we had a tornado come down mm-hmm. right past the hotel.
That's right. You better have a plan.
Have a plan. And you're not paranoid.
No.
I always tell people, you know, you are preparing
right.
or prepared, and it's not paranoia, because here's the problem. If your solutions to how you're going to handle something
mm-hmm.
are going to be made when it occurs, you have no plan.
Right.
You know.
No.
There's got to be but what if then thinking.
Yep.
And, you know, training.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned training. You only are as good as the lowest level of training you've ever had.
Right.
And if you've never had training or ever practiced something like this,
right.
Then what are you at? You're winging it.
Sure.
And that is not a good thing to do.
Not going
to
do. It's, so many people are, you know, they carry concealed, but they don't practice. They don't get in that muscle memory. And they think they're going to perform to standards, but they won't meet their expectations. A lot of people won't meet their expectations when the defecation hits the oscillator.
Well, the thing of it is, too, they also have the either carry a holster of the de jure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I always tell somebody, if you're going to carry with the same system and the same plan at all times for a couple of different reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, muscle motor memory.
Yeah.
Two, you're cognizant to, you know, to shield yourself to make sure that shirt tail is over it or whatever. If you become incapacitated or strip and fall, your partner, your wife or husband or whatever can get there and say, okay, the gun is on this hip today. It's not in some exotic leg holster.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. It's so always in the same place.
It's always systematic.
Yeah.
I always, you know, people ask me about open carry, versus concealed carry. Personally, I love concealed carry.
Yeah.
It's a more polite society.
Right.
Because I treat everybody as being armed.
But Georgia or Pennsylvania have open carry?
Pennsylvania did not. Well, Pennsylvania did have it right before I left, and that got to be a bag of tricks.
I know. Florida didn't have it, so I spent my career in my 42 years in Florida. Then I moved up here to Virginia and saw it, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me!"
Well, the thing that worries me about open carry is two things.
There's a lot, yeah.
Two major glaring things. Number one, when I walk in and see somebody open carry,
mm-hmm.
if I'm Billy the bad guy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know who the alpha is to take out first.
Right. Or the person that thinks they're the alpha.
Right.
They're trying to show everybody they're the alpha, but they're showing is they're not the alpha.
And then they're down, I got another gun.
Right.
Yay me.
Right.
The second thing, too, is this. A lot of times when they're walking around open carry, I think some of them are just totally oblivious.
Yeah.
I was in...
Retention holster, probably not. Yeah. Retention skills... Of that, they just had a Pennsylvania police officer get jumped by three guys, and he was in uniform in a store. They jumped him and they took his gun. If they're going to do that to a uniform officer, they will do it to a civilian.
The thing that worried me the other day, I saw one man who was in a store here,
mm-hmm.
Keep it quiet, and he was walking around. To me, he was much older than you and I,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering about his physical prowess. He was moving very, very slowly, but that's okay. He had an exposed hog leg of a gun.
Yeah.
And he kept getting it hung up on his grocery
cart. Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, just in case.
Yeah.
Could it actually have bumped something or another, mm-hmm. made it fall out, made the safety go off or whatever? And I'm just like... We really need to rethink safety,
mm-hmm.
because anytime you have something, it's, I don't care what the instrument is.
Right.
And, when I give you this pen, I got to think safety, not to point the pointy end.
Right, right.
So you don't stab yourself.
Yeah.
So, but when you're carrying an instrumentality like that, safety needs to be paramount, mm-hmm. both for you and around you.
Yeah. And I like carry concealed and go unnoticed. I don't think a poker player sits there and shows his opponents the cards.
Do you wear mirrored sunglasses
right.
while you're looking
right,
at your
right,
card?
Right, right, right. I want that element of surprise. If I'm going to be attacked, I want that person to not know that I have a firearm until I need them to know I have a firearm. I get it. It's a constitutional right, and I hear that all the time. It's my constitutional right to open carry and have a firearm. I get that. Florida just went to constitutional carry,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. But what I would love to see is if Virginia or these other states, I think there's 26 states, are doing constitutional carry, which means you can just go buy a gun and carry concealed. No training, no background on laws and like that. But if we're going to do that constitutional carry for the Second Amendment, I'm okay with that. But it would be nice if the states would say, we're going to allow that. However, if you take it upon yourself to do a firearm safety course, we're going to give you X amount of dollars off on your vehicle renewal. Or we're going to give you X amount of dollars off on your property tax for that year.
Or something.
Some kind of a gift card. Visa, MasterCard gift card. Chick-fil-A, whatever. But there's got to be some kind of reward for training because... people need to know the law.
May have spoke about this last time I was here. I was in a gun shop up in Pennsylvania a few years ago, and it was a young man there, looked like a hardworking kid,
mm-hmm.
had a wife and a kid, and he was sitting there looking at about a $2,000 AR platform.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to convince her, and I don't think they had two nickels to rub together.
Yeah.
He's trying to convince her, I need to buy this to protect the family.
Right.
He couldn't operate it. He could not bring the charging bolt back. And then he looked, because it was a flat top AR,
yeah.
he goes, well, it doesn't have sights. He did not even know
wow.
the type of weapon he
yeah,
was
yeah.
looking at.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened that day, because one side of me said, you need to help this kid.
Yeah.
I said, it's not your business.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing of it is, somebody like that, does he need a weapon to protect his family? Maybe. Does he need a $2,000 AR platform?
No.
He needs is a $200 used shotgun.
Yeah, yeah.
And about $500 maybe of training.
That's right. That's right.
Just because you got grandpa took you out shooting one time does not make you a war hero.
I hear that all the time. I with my students, I hear all the time. My I'll ask, what's your experience with guns? Well, my uncle's in the Marine Corps.
Good.
Okay. What's your experience with guns? And then I also hear, well, my grandfather took me hunting all the time. What's your experience with handguns? What's your experience? There's a huge, huge difference between hunting and carrying concealed. And, Virginia allows you to take the hunter safety course for your concealed permit, but
right.
they're not going over any self-defense laws. They're not going over any liability or legal issues And that's, we got to go over that.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing too is this, with, you know, a lot of people, they think it's the, I don't need to carry, like I said earlier, like a little utility tool,
right,
like a knife or flashlight. I got a gun.
Right.
Between you and I collectively, we've got many decades of law enforcement,
yeah,
experience. Both you, I, and our colleagues, there have been in times where we couldn't engage somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the weapon is not the solution.
Right, right.
And it, whipping it out may compound the scenario and make it worse.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it always have to, you have to have but what if then thinking to,
right,
say, if I can't do this, if I can't engage, what can I do?
Right.
To make it better, not worse.
And it goes back to having the brain. The brain is going to keep you out of trouble. I just talked to, we're going to do some church training Saturday, and I just talked to a friend of mine, Jordan. He's retired San Diego Police Department, and that's my phone dinging through my computer, and I can't shut it off. I apologize. But he said, you know, when young cops start out, it's more fist, mm-hmm, it's more fighting, it's they don't know that yet. As they get older, they start realizing, I can use my mouth and my brain to keep me out of internal affairs, to keep me out of lawsuits and stuff like that. And everybody has the ability to do that if we just use our brain. And I will say, we're sitting out here throwing out all these hints and stuff to keep people safe. There's a lot of people out there that are on board with what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
I get a lot of ladies coming to my class, and they're telling me things that they do, and I'm like, good, that's smart. That's smart. Keep
Absolutely.
Doing that.
Absolutely. You know, we used to call it interpersonal communication skills.
Yeah,
that's called de-escalation.
Right, right.
You know, I always refer to it as cooling the mark.
Uh-huh.
And if you ever remember, you know, the old circuses would come to town,
mm-hmm,
and there would be somebody there, you know, saying, if you know, I've got this machine, I put a dollar bill in it, $100 bill comes out,
right,
but I'll sell it to you today for $50.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, well, I don't know about that. Well, here's somebody over on the side going, well, it worked for me, look at the $100
mm-hmm
bill I just made before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah.
So you're cooling the mark,
right,
you know. And you know what, a lot of cops I know who are the best ones that ever walked,
mm-hmm,
they didn't have their knuckles scruffed up.
That's right.
They could chomp the birds out of the trees.
That's right.
They could calm down anybody. They could do that de-escalation, and it still works.
Right.
It's, you know, it's nothing new under the sun, but learning how to calm people down and, you know, make sure your body language matches.
Exactly.
Your voice tone, your voice intonation, and cool the mark.
Right.
And to me, it's like we just invented it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we've been doing it for years.
Give people respect. I think we're getting away from it, though, because the younger generation, and even older people, they're so into texting now that people can't talk. I mean, I've approached people before and asked them, and they completely shut down. But if I was to text it to them, they could communicate. And I think we've forgotten about just show people respect and talk to people. People just want respect, and talk to them and calm them down. They just want to feel that they're being listened to. And then social media also has given us the ability over the past 20 years to completely flambast somebody with no repercussions. I can tear up somebody who's on social media because they're in Tennessee and I'm here, and they're not going to come get me.
Right.
And we've lost that respect.
And it all goes back to, you know, civility.
Yeah.
You know, we're back to traveling again.
Yep.
I've seen some people, you know, just sometimes you got a short connection and
mm-hmm
you got to go running through the airport.
Yeah.
Fine, I get that. I understand that. But, you know, just calm down.
Right.
Can't everybody get off the plane at the same time?
Yeah.
If you got a long connection, just let people on board.
Right.
But I see people jump up, try to wiggle their way out.
That's a huge courtesy. And sometimes the airlines will say, we're running a little late. You know, the flight attendant, we're a little late. If you don't have an immediate connecting flight, if you can sit tight, let these people get off, that's nice. But you'll have people that aren't in a hurry. And I'm like, because I've had to run a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And no, we were on a plane one day and it had just pulled in.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the family had a short connection.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know who they were.
Right.
I don't know what nationality they're from. Oh, my God, Stan. I don't
know
where they're from.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, plane is pulling up. And the lights come on. About that time, we hear somebody speaking in a foreign voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they go running towards the front.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was a guy in front of me. He goes, we're all going to die.
TSA missed it, and we're all going to die. Yeah.
But it turned out, you know, they were running through the airport.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a language barrier.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That too. And the same with road rage. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've seen so many cases here recently where recently I think a race car driver got killed in a road rage event.
Wow.
I mean, pull over, let him go by.
Yeah.
In that big a hurry.
That's right.
Go.
That's right.
The other day I saw one, I was like, where's a trooper? The people running in and out of the cones in the construction area. And I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
don't hit a construction worker.
Please. Right, right.
Here's a guy and a gal trying to make a living for their
right.
family. Don't run over them, but just go on. Just
what I find mostly is it's their road, I just happen to be on it. Or it's their parking lot, I just happen to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just people are inconsiderate. And it's half the people, though, are doing everything behind the wheel but pay attention to the driving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what we're always referred to as cockpit distractions.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big thing in police work years ago when they started bringing in the MTDs
mm-hmm.
and all of those
uh-huh.
things. I mean, granted, when I first came on, I had one radio with four channels, one switch for the blue light.
Yeah.
I was good.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah. But now, if you look inside a police car.
Oh, my goodness.
Or even better yet, an EMS wagon
yeah.
or a fire truck.
Yeah.
It looks like a cockpit.
It does.
And the distractions
That's
are just
distractions.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the least distractions, the better.
Yeah. Yep. Where's your next location you're traveling to?
Portsmouth, Virginia.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. That's an easy drive.
That's an easy drive.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one. It's coming up a little bit later on. I've had a couple of classes here recently cancel, and the reason why, police staffing is so low.
Yeah.
Some of the classes we run are just so, you know, deep in what you got to have experienced officers there.
Right.
They don't have it. They can't
yeah.
put it together. And we've
yeah.
had, I've had four cancellations here, which that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I do it for giggles.
Right.
And, you know, a little extra cigar money.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah.
The,
yeah.
You know, some guys make a living doing this. It's tough. And it's a hard thing, too, to know that you've got good training out there and good cops can't take it because they don't have the staff or in-depth
right.
manpower to handle it.
Right.
And that's scary.
It is very scary. There's very little experience and manpower in these police departments nowadays.
And I hate the term when I hear people say, especially, you know, board of supervisors or
mm-hmm.
council people, well, you know, what is the minimum training? That's all they need.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, and I always say that is minimum training. Now, if you have to go to a doctor and have surgery,
right?
I want one with minimum training. Oh, heck no. I want one that's got
exactly.
I want somebody
exactly. I work a lot with businesses, of course, active shooter training, and their HR will tell me we're having a problem with this guy, you know, and I hear about a lot of internal stuff, and well, we called the police and they didn't do this, and it's because the officer doesn't know what he or she can do for that business.
Right.
They don't know. They're brand new. They haven't been trained. They don't know. There's so many options you can do to handle this employee through the legal system, and they
right.
just don't know.
And also too, it's an HR issue sometimes as well. There's a lot of people today I see are stressing out, you know, be it over money, the economy.
Right.
I just had to stop and fill up gas to get up here. And I'm like, wow. You know,
yeah.
if I had to, you know, commute to back and work every day or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, there's a lot of pressures on people today. And I can see what can stress them out a lot.
Yeah, it adds
up.
I
mean, it used to be, you know, $20, you could go to the store and get a lot of food.
Yeah.
And that $20, you know, that's snacks.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Or one meal.
Right. And you're not going to be able to feed a family.
No.
So I think there's a lot of stressors on a lot of, you know,
yeah.
employees. I just heard of another company here in the region going out of business, 320 people being laid off at the end of the year.
That's not good.
You know, at least they let them know now.
With Christmas coming up.
Right. And so the thing of it is, you know, a lot of stressors on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we don't know what, you know, baggage they're carrying.
Right.
Going back to the airport, I see you carrying a bag. I don't know what's in it. It's kind of like when we see people stressing out in the streets today, or when you see somebody shopping or whatever.
Right.
What are they carrying on their shoulders?
That's
that
right.
Day?
That's
you know,
right.
They may have a lot of burdens to try to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Talked to somebody the other day about their medications.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to go back and reconfigure your stuff, you know, maybe you can find it cheaper. So there's a lot of mental issues, too, I think we need to be cognizant.
People can only take so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Before they snap.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why we have to show respect and de-escalation, interpersonal skills. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
That's been a good podcast.
Wow.
You got anything else you want to add?
No, just tell everybody, train hard, train smart.
That's right.
And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, this I'm going to help everybody for Christmas. You mentioned Christmas.
Yeah.
you know, nobody's ever seen me in a tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, if you see me in a tie, yeah, if you die, maybe I'll wear it.
Okay? Right, maybe.
I don't like to dress up.
Right.
You know, give somebody something of worth.
Yeah.
For Christmas this year, I'm here for Christmas shopping. You know, give somebody some good quality flashlight.
That's right.
Have you got one by the front door, the back door, by the bed, in the car? Yeah. You know, get somebody a good quality first aid kit.
Right.
And maybe a gift card to go get first aid training or stop and wait training. And when you invite me over to grill out one night, instead of bringing a bottle of wine, I'll bring you a new fire extinguisher because I've seen you cook before.
Right, right.
But give people tools of worth.
That's really good advice. I've never thought about that, but it's, you know, you go out and you go to shop and it's, you know, I'll go to this store and just, I'll get this person that. But you're right. Why not get them a really good, high-powered LED lumen flashlight that they can put by the front door in case something happens, or a breaching tool, you know, or like you said, the door chalk for a hotel. Yeah, it's a ton of stuff you can get out there.
A ton of stuff, you know, and all the guys that go hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
You know, give them a good quality first aid kit.
Right. You know, show them that you care.
Well, you know they're going to get a hook in their hand.
Yeah.
You know they're going to fall out the damn tree stand.
Right.
Take care of themselves. But the thing of it is, give people tools of worth, and maybe even, you know, I always say team building. Go ahead and get first aid, stop the bleed.
That's right. The bleed's critical. And a good tourniquet's going to run you about $35. That's a good Christmas present. Very easy to learn how to put on. You can go to stopthebleed.org, and in 15 minutes, mm-hmm. you're an expert at putting on a tourniquet.
And I always tell people this. I said, if you are a bow hunter,
right,
using a crossbow, you should have tourniquets on you.
Yeah.
Because if you even stumble and fall and that one arrow hits one vein.
That's right.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
You got a problem right now.
Big problem. You got about 30 seconds
to make fix it. That's a definite.
Yeah. Good. Well, we got Christmas coming up. A couple more months. It's going to be here. Time's flying. All right. This has been Active Listening with T4 Tactics, William Harvey. This is his second time in. That's some good information. I appreciate you coming in.
My pleasure.
And we'll come up with some more safety stuff, and we'll do another one in maybe a month or two again.
Yeah.
Have you back on.
Cool beans.
All right, everybody. Remember, reduce injuries and save lives. Take care.